every time we chant Srimad Bhagavatam, because we'll be discussing Bhagavatam verses quoted by Lord Chaitanya. Krishna himself, as his own devotee, is relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. At the beginning of when we started on Saturday, we presented the theme, the opulence and sweetness of Krishna. We discussed how Lord Chaitanya, in speaking to Sanatana Goswami in the Madhya Lila, first explained about Krishna's opulence, showing devotees how to relish all aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ocean of opulence, the Aishwarya Sagar, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm only able to give one drop of it. This is how great Krishna is. So earlier we discussed how unlimited universes emanate from the Supreme Lord. As Lord Chaitanya progressed in his discussion with Sanatana Goswami, he quoted the Bhagavatam verse in the third canto, where the Lord is described as Triadisha, the Lord of threes. He's the Lord of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, the material world. He's the Lord of the three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. He's the Lord of the Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. In this way, Lord Chaitanya relished all aspects of the Supreme Lord's majesty. Before you can appreciate the Lord's sweetness, you must understand how inconceivably powerful Krishna is with his potencies. I've explained before how, during my time at the BBT, artists who were doing the paintings for the Bhagavatam were churning out one picture after another of Krishna and the gopis. So finally, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter saying, who's filling my book simply with pictures of Krishna and the gopis? We want to see how Krishna controls everything. It was very interesting that Lord Chaitanya first plunged Sanatana Goswami into the ocean of opulence, Krishna's potencies. You can't get to the end of them. We discussed how Lord Brahma himself said, Jananta eva jananta. Kimbhavya name prabho. People may say they know about Krishna. Let them talk. As far as I'm concerned, everything about Krishna is beyond my mind, my intelligence, my words. In other words, Brahma, after the Brahma Vimohana Lila, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, he's looking right at Krishna offering these prayers, and he's humbly saying, even though I'm apparently seeing you, you're beyond me. My words are not powerful enough to describe you. My intelligence can't conceive of you. And we discussed how the acharyas say Krishna is thinking. Krishna's in Vrindavan. He's a cowherd boy. He's saying to Brahma, what are you talking about? I'm just an ignorant cowherd boy from a simple village. What are all these words you're saying? But anyway, you're saying these things, you're praying like this, so you must understand me. alive. I'm offering you prayers, but that doesn't mean I understand you. I'm offering my prayers to you and you're right in front of my eyes. That doesn't mean I know what I'm seeing. Well, this is the head of our Sampradaya, and he's expressing his bewilderment at Krishna's opulences. Now let's turn to the part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is going to switch gears, so to speak. He presents to you, first of all, that Krishna is situated eternally in his spiritual potency. You cannot understand God without understanding God's potencies. As the Shastra says, Pralasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate. When you talk about the Supreme Lord, you must talk about multifarious potencies. Krishna accomplishes things through his energies. He has no need to personally do anything except love his devotees. That is the ultimate characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not creation, maintenance, or annihilation, but loving intimate affairs with his devotees. If you want to know a very proper and full definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya is giving you that now. And I'd like you to meditate on this definition of God. You won't find it anywhere else. There's no doubt that what Lord Chaitanya has given us is the deepest, most comprehensive understanding of the Supreme Lord. Because he possesses the spiritual potencies which fulfill all his desires, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the Vedic version. So please focus on this inherent tendency of the Supreme Lord, inherent trait. Swaraja Lakshmi. He possesses the ability to fulfill his own desires. He possesses the spiritual potencies to achieve anything he wants. If you just meditate on that, you'll easily understand the difference between you and God. As the Upanishads state, nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bhunam yo vijadati kama. Of all the eternal living entities, there's one chief. Nitya. And of all the conscious living entities, there's one supreme conscious living entity. What is the difference between the one and the many? Both the parts and the complete whole are conscious and they're eternal. But there's a difference. Eka bhunam yo vijadati kama. The one, Eka, is maintaining all the others. That's the Upanishads giving you a preliminary understanding of the Supreme Lord. But Lord Chaitanya is taking you far beyond the Upanishads. He's saying, look at Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has desires and he has the unlimited capacity to fulfill his unlimited desires. Now, we've explained many times, you have desires as a conscious entity, but what happens when you try to fulfill your desires? Admit it, be honest. Barriers, impediments, frustrations, false hopes, delusions, illusions. And even you completely get what you want, and then you get tired of it. You've all had an experience. You finally get whatever you wanted. And then it loses its taste. You throw it away. Krishna is sentient. He's not some kind of energy blob or cloud of effulgence. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the best of persons. Purushottam. You are a person. God is also a person, but he's Purushottama. He's the best person. What does it mean to be the best person? That means the Lord has unlimited desires. You can't conceive of that, having unlimited desires. You just have a few desires and you get so frustrated when they're thwarted. But try to conceive of unlimited desires. That is what Krishna has. And he also, simultaneously, has the unlimited potency to fulfill his unlimited desires. That is God. Understand that, and then you can make your way into Krishna Leela. Otherwise, you mistake Krishna Leela as involving some ordinary person, more powerful, still an ordinary person who has ordinary desires. But when you submissively hear Krishna Leela, then you can understand this person has the unlimited ability and potency to fulfill all his desires. Therefore, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahamachami. Now, to get to that point, you have to give up your envy. And as you know, that's the disease that pushes on your material existence. Envious of Krishna. How can there be a person with unlimited desires and the unlimited potencies to satisfy his desires? No way. It's got to be mythology. Therefore, it's very important that we authoritatively hear about the Supreme Personality of God. Otherwise, you'll fall into the trap of thinking, well, there's so many spiritual paths. It's like Jananda Prabhu was quoting from the first canto yesterday. The questions by these sages at Naimisaranya. Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Chotavyani Prabhagasa. There's so many Vedic scriptures. They weren't even talking about non-Vedic. They're talking about so many Vedic scriptures. With so many prescriptions for what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You're a sadhu. You please select the essence. Some of the denomination. With deep intelligence, select what's the best thing. So we can understand how the anatma supersedes, how the self can actually be satisfied. Knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most precious treasure. That is what makes Krishna consciousness contribution distinct in this world. Just see how Lord Chaitanya is talking to Sanatana Goswami. The unlimited potencies of Krishna are just like an ocean of nectar, Amrita Sindhu. Since one cannot bathe within that ocean, I have only touched a drop of it. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I've only touched a drop. You're overlooking the lake of Tapa. You can bathe in it. You certainly can touch one drop. But Lord Chaitanya says about the Aishvarya Saga, the ocean of Krishna's opulence. You can't bathe in it. It's too vast. It's too inconceivable. Therefore, he says, I'm only giving you a drop. This is how great the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Let us never make the mistake of thinking that, well, there's this religion, there's that religion. And Krishna consciousness is, it's a nice religion too. And we appreciate all religions, of course. At the same time, we understand that what Srimad Bhagavatam is giving, what Lord Chaitanya is giving, has no rival. Does it mean that you're egotistical? Does it mean you're fanatical? If someone is driving a Hyundai and someone is driving a Mercedes and you say the Mercedes is better than the Hyundai, does that mean you're a fanatic? Does it mean that you're being exclusive and sectarian? No. impartial auto review magazine or website will easily say, you have a choice between a Hyundai and a Mercedes. Take the Mercedes without a doubt. When people purchase, they check out the reviews. Generally these days people go online, see what's the best computer, what's the best digital camera. They want authoritative advice from impartial sources. They're very leery of recommendations given by the manufacturer himself. They want to hear impartial reviews. And then they say, okay, it has been established that this car is much better than that car. Now you may drive a Hyundai, that's all right, but still you clearly understand the Mercedes is the best. Is that a problem? Have you met any Hyundai driver who's, no, Mercedes are horrible. Nah, it's all the same. All cars are the same. No. Actually, what is the Hyundai driver thinking? Well, if I had the money, I'd definitely get a Mercedes. Nor do the drivers of the Mercedes condemn the drivers of the Hyundai. You've got to get to work. You're doing the best you can. Still. The point is clear. There's differentiation, and we're not ashamed of that. Oh, we got to be careful telling people about Krishna because, I mean, actually, you know, we don't want to show that or imply that we have something better. Just listen to what Lord Chaitanya is saying. And then you understand that you have been given the pinnacle of knowledge and the pinnacle of spiritual process for experiencing that knowledge. And just now hear the effect upon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is demonstrating to you how to be a bhakta. You want to join the bhakta program, you listen to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He'll personally teach you. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna in this way, there was an awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love, and he quoted the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. See, you know, Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies are progressing. Now he's going to quote this verse from third canto. The conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, in which Uddhava remembers Krishna's pastimes within Vrindavan and also outside of Vrindavan, in Mathura and Dwarka. First, Uddhava will establish that the pastimes of Sri Krishna are performed in his form presented by Yogamaya. We'll explain why that is a very important point. But now we'll chant this verse. Yanmarcha lila paikam swayoga.
Yanmarcha lila paikam
swayoga. Maya balam dasayata grahitam. Visma panam sasyacha saubhagadhe. Param param bhushana bhushanangam. Yan marcha lila paikam swayoga. Maya balam dasayata grahitam. Visma param sasyacha saubhagadhe. Param param bhushana bhushanangam. Yan marcha lila paikam swayoga. Maya balam dasayata grahitam. Visma panam sasasya saubhagadhe. Param Param Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Maitalila Paikam Sayoga.
Maitalila Paikam Sayoga.
Maya Balam Dashayata Grihitam.
Maya Balam Dashayata Grihitam.
Vishmapanam Swasyacha Saubhagade.
Vishmapanam Swasyacha Saubhagade.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Yamacha Lila Paikam Sayoga.
Yamacha Lila Paikam Sayoga.
Maya Balam Dashaya Tavihitam.
Maya Balam Dashaya Tavihitam.
Vismapanam.
Vismapanam.
Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Vismapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanganam. Chalila Paikam Sayoga.
Chalila Paikam Sayoga.
Maya Balam Dashayata Vihitam.
Maya Balam Dashayata Vihitam.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Vaishnavis.
Yamachalila Paikam Sayoga.
Maya Balam Dashaya Tavihitam.
Maya Balam Dashaya Tavihitam.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Yamachalila Paikam Sayoga.
Yamachalila Paikam Sayoga.
Maya Balam Dashayata Vihitam.
Maya Balam Dashayata Vihitam.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Vishmapanam Svasya Chasau Bhagade.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam.
Yat.
Yat.
That which
Marchalila
pastimes in the material world.
World.
Alpayakam,
just
suitable for.
Swa,
his own.
Yeah.
Yogamaya,
Yoga
of the spiritual potency.
Balam,
the strength.
Darshayata,
showing.
Grihitam,
accepted.
Vismapanam,
even producing wonder.
Swasya,
for himself.
Cha,
also.
Saubhagavide,
of abundant good fortune.
Param,
supreme.
Param,
abode.
Bhushana,
of ornaments.
Bhushana Angam,
the limbs of which were the ornaments. Translation. Remember, Lord Chaitanya, as he speaks this verse, Krishna praying is overflowing in him. His mind is switching from opulence to the sweetness of the intimate affairs with Krishna. Don't take these verses as just something ordinary. Even chanting the Sanskrit, if you don't understand, still, Srila Prabhupada always explained that Sanskrit sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, not just any Sanskrit, but Bhagavatam Sanskrit, it brings about the association of the Supreme Lord. One day you'll understand how simply by saying such a verse, Lord Chaitanya can drown in transcendental ecstasy. He's teaching you what is bhakti. To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. I'll read the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam. In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nicho Nichanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, the personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands, because that would have not been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakata. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakata. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it's sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Like now here you can see, the sun is not visible to our ordinary eyes, but none of you here will say the sun is finished. Similarly, in the uppercut lila, the Lord is not visible to your ordinary eyes, but somewhere his pastimes are going on. That is the meaning of Nitya Lila. It's like somewhere the sun is shining brightly. Maybe in Auckland, up the road, 4 hours, there's bright sunlight. In that way, through these allegories, you get the conviction that Krishna exists as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, bear in mind, the allegory or the metaphor is not the proof. Shastra is the proof. But the acharyas use similes and metaphors and allegories to bring you closer to understanding the Siddhanta. But the evidence is actually the shastra. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha Lokas. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Now please pay attention to this next point, especially, that Srila Prabhupada is making. Because sometimes, I even hear this question from devotees. Why has Krishna left us in the material world? It seems cruel that we're just kept under the spell of illusion. Why is that? Now you're hearing that the pastimes the Lord displays as Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, excel even his pastimes or his presence in Vaikuntha. In the Vaikuntha Lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or Nitya Mukta living entities. But in his pastimes in the material world, He is merciful even to the fallen souls who are nitya bhada, or conditioned forever. So how are you going to complain now? The eternally conditioned, the nitya bhada, get to see pastimes that are not available in Vaikuntha. The six excellent opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare, even in Vaikuntha Loka. All his pastimes are manifested, not by the material energy, but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasa Lila at Vrindavan and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ram, Nisringa, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. So how can you complain? Krishna has abandoned us. God has left us. We're suffering in this material world. Why doesn't Krishna do something about it? He has displayed lila, pastimes, that even the Lord of Vaikuntha is attracted to. He displays in this mortal world pastimes that are not seen in Vaikuntha. Rasa Lila, Dwarka Lila, 16,000 wives. In this way, Uddhava is exclaiming about the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us deep insight. How fortunate we are simply to hear about Krishna. Never take it for granted, the opportunity to hear about the Supreme Lord. Now let's talk about Krishna Lila as presented by Lord Chaitanya Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya has moved from opulence and he wants to establish the inestimable sweetness of Krishna's pastimes as a cowherd boy. This Naralila pastimes, which seem to be resembling human affairs, performed by the Lord in his Naravapu, in his human-like form. And he's in Gopavesh, he's dressed as a cowherd boy. Venudar, he's carrying the flute. Navatishore, he's ever fresh. And Natavar, he's the expert ballet dancer. All these attributes, Mahaprabhu says, are just suitable for the Lord's pastimes. Flute playing, cowherd boy dress, expert ballet dancer, ever fresh, human-like pastimes. All these are just perfect for the Lord's enjoyment and for the benefit of the conditioned souls. You might say, what's that got to do with me? Okay, all glories to Krishna. Govinda Madhu Purusham. He jai. But here we are in the material world under the cloud of Maya. Just like now the clouds are covering the sun. So, we're covered by the cloud of avidya, nescience. But the fact that Krishna displays this Naralila in the material world is the greatest mercy for you, because you can see what to do with your loving propensity. You can see what to do with your desires. You can see what to do with your personhood. That is the great contribution of Lord Chaitanya to the world. You can finally understand what to do about your personality. Just by understanding Krishna's personality. Listen to how Lord Chaitanya is encouraging Sanatana Goswami. That's what is meant to happen in the society of devotees. Encouragement to advance in hearing about Krishna. We want to create a setting where everyone is inspired to hear the glories of the Lord in a peaceful mind. All the management, all the organizations for that purpose, to allow the devotees to hear about Krishna, and then to extend that sweet nectar to those who have forgotten Krishna. Encouragement is always there. And just see the personalism going on between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. My dear Sanatana, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. Where have you come upon such subject matter? I ask you, where have you ever heard such? Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. Just a fractional understanding. The Lord is encouraging, enthusing Sanatana Goswami. Just try to understand it. Make the best use of your human form of life. Try to understand Krishna's beauty. You cannot say that people are unattracted to understanding beauty. The most popular magazines are magazines about movie stars. People want to understand the temporary beauty of someone's temporary body. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I had an interesting hobby. I would collect pictures of old and decrepit movie stars. Because I thought it was a joke that people are craving so much the darshan of these temporary bodies. But what do those bodies look like in the 60s and 70s? So, there's no doubt people want to understand beauty. But what beauty have you ever known that just getting a fractional understanding of it plunges all the three worlds in an ocean of love? Please think about these things. And try to understand Krishna's beauty. Don't be lazy. Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he implores you. Siddhanta bodhya chitta, not korona. Don't be lazy about understanding these things, thinking, oh, these are just theological statements. No, this is nourishment for your life. This is your heart and soul, Krishna's beauty, beyond even Krishna's opulence. Now, where are you going to go to get knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's beauty and His personal affairs? That is the uniqueness, that is the exclusiveness of Lord Chaitanya's contribution. Next, Lord Chaitanya wants to establish that Krishna presents his form within this world via the internal potency. He does not come to this world through the conduit, so to speak, of the material energy. He has his own way for appearing. And the only way that you can see Krishna's form is by the grace of Yoga Maya. Krishna presents his form to the world through the Yoga Maya potency. Your form is presented to the world through Mahamaya, the illusory potency. Therefore, when someone walks before you, you immediately think, this person is the body, because their form is presented by the illusory energy. But Krishna's form is presented to the world by Yogamaya. Yogamaya operates in the material world and in Goloka Vrindava, but Yogamaya is not operated by Kunda. In the material world, Yogamaya presents Krishna's all spiritual perfect form, and Yogamaya presents Boma Vrindavan, an exact replica of Vrindavan in the spiritual world. There's no difference. Now, in the verse that Uddhava is discussing with Vidura and Lord Chaitanya is quoting, we find that even the Lord is attracted to his own beauty. That means even Narayan and Vaikuntha when he sees Swayam Bhagavan, is wondering, what is this? I have never seen such beauty before. The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. You have never heard of such before. Can you ever say that you were eager to taste your own beauty? But there is a person, unlimitedly beautiful, who feels that way, naturally. Uddhava explains to Vidura that when Narayan Vaikuntha observes Krishna Leela on earth, even he is attracted, and he's Krishna himself. Certainly, we are attracted. Krishna is so beautiful that his avatars acknowledge there's nothing like Swayam Bhagavan, the origin of all avatars. The Lord has pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. His presence is there. His presence is in Vaikuntha. As Mahavaikunthana, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan. His presence is in the spiritual sky, the causal ocean. He's lying there as Mahavishnu, breathing out on the many universes. You can say also he's present in the material world as the guna avatars. But nothing compares to that manifestation of the original Lord with his personal pastimes. That same Lord of Goloka Vrindavan appears in Bhoma Vrindavan and then displays pastimes that are not available in Vaikuntha. This is the great opportunity we have. Those pastimes are not presented through the material energy. They are presented by Krishna's spiritual energy. The more we meditate on Krishna's personal form, the less we'll be attached to our own bodies. Now, what about that form? That form wears ornaments. But in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is quoting, Param Bhushanam Bhushanam. It is not the ornaments that make Krishna's body beautiful. Krishna's body makes the ornaments look beautiful. Now, let's review Krishna's personal presence. You have the ornaments that get their beauty from Krishna's form. Above the beauty of that form is Krishna's threefold bending stance. How does he do it? He takes the right shank, what is this called in yoga terms?
Huh?
The quadriceps or something. He takes his shank, his right shank, and he puts it over the left shank. And then he rests his head on his left shoulder. And then he holds the flute. And his tender fingers are covering the holes of the flute. And while he's doing that, he's moving his eyes very attractively. And he's firing arrows through his eyes at the hearts of his intimate devotees. And when those arrows hit their hearts, the hearts spin. So that is Shyam Sundar, known as Tribhangananda. He displays the bliss of having a threefold bending form. That is the supreme asana. Threefold bending form, playing the flute, with eyes firing love arrows. Yes, this is the topmost meditation. Lord Chaitanya establishes that the demigods and all of the enemies within the material world are attracted to the Lord's beauty. Also, in the spiritual world, Narayana is attracted. Lakshmi is the most chaste woman. Yet, although she's the consort of Narayana, she's attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is using all the aspects of the material and spiritual world to corroborate, to prove nothing compares to Krishna's beauty, the beauty of his body, the beauty of his form. With his intimate devotees, what does Krishna like to do? Ride on the chariot of their minds. He rides on the chariot of the gopis' minds. And he afflicts them with the five arrows of sense objects, sound, sight, smell, touch, so on. In this way, he comes before them as the ever-fresh Cupid. There's nothing that can rival these interactions between Krishna and his devotees in his intimate abode. There's nothing, even in Vaikuntha, that can rival this. Lord Chaitanya wants to go deeper into discussion of Krishna. He wants to take you into the forest of Braj. I was speaking with John Mandapuri yesterday, how he will be spending time in Vrindavan. Krishna's given his service there. When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of the Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all of the enemies, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. There's a whole chapter in Bhagavatam describing what happens when Krishna plays his flute. Moving entities become immobile. Immobile entities start to move. The trees shiver with ecstasy. The cows and calves, they're eating grass, but when they hear Krishna's flute, the grass just stays in their mouth. They're just frozen. And their ears perk up. The Jamuna River, which is flowing, stands still. And with its waves, it's just waiting for dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, the Bhagavatam describes, Shukadeva Goswami describes it, just as the Jamuna River, through its waves, is waiting for the mercy of the Lord. Similarly, the gopis stop crying, hoping, now Krishna will come to us. These are some of the effects of Krishna's flute playing. Lord Chaitanya is giving you insight into the forest of Braj. What happens because of Krishna's beauty? And what about that form of the Lord in the forest? Vanamali, decorated with garlands and minerals. Lord Chaitanya gives his own beautiful metaphors, so you can meditate on Krishna's beauty. He has a necklace around his neck of white pearls that are like white ducks in the sky. And his garment he wears, his yellow garment, is like the lightning in the sky. And the peacock feathers on his head, they're like the rainbow in the sky. And the Lord's complexion is like rain clouds. More beautiful than these rain clouds. a glimpse of Krishna's beauty. Beautiful literary example. You see, even from a material point of view, in terms of literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita is super excellent. And of course, its spiritual content is the crest of Vaishnava literature. So you have the lightning in the sky, the yellow clothes, the sky of rain clouds, Krishna's complexion, the white ducks flying through that sky, the pearl necklace around his neck, the rainbow in the sky, the peacock feathers. And then from the rain cloud comes the rain. And what does that rain cloud of beauty fall upon? Krishna's intimate devotees, who are described like grains in the field, eagerly awaiting that rain. This is what Lord Chaitanya wants you to have a vision of. Then he concludes by very subtly venturing into the madness of pure love. Lord Chaitanya explains, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, has described these pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the descriptions, the devotees become mad with love of God. Yes, this is the purpose of hearing Bhagavatam. So what if it takes you all your life? Is there anything else worth aspiring for? Just by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavatam, become mad with love of God. Lord Chaitanya always backs up all his pure emotional presentations with Shastra. So now he's going to quote a Bhagavatam verse spoken by the women of Mathura in the wrestling arena of Kamsa. Just as the women of Mathura ecstatically describe the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the different mellows of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse. You see what's behind all this shastra? Such powerful, pure emotions. Mahaprabhu is overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He grabs the hand of Sanatana and recites the verse. What kind of dynamics are these? What kind of personal relationships are these?
Gopyascha bhakyama charanya ramusha rupam lavanya sarama samurva mananya siddham tribhi pivantan salatina vandurapam ekanta dhamma yasasashya aishvarasya.
This verse is spoken by the women of Mathura. They are observing the wrestling match between Krishna and Balaram, Chinnamura and Mushtika. And they're outraged. How can these tender boys battle such thunderbolt mountain-like wrestlers? This is unjust. And so what do? The women of Mathura start by condemning Mathura indirectly. They praise Vrindavan. Oh, that wonderful tract of land known as Braj, where the Lord wanders decorated with garlands. What a fortunate place that is. This is culture, you see. Instead of saying, what a lousy place this is, you say, how glorious is that other place? In other words, we don't approve of these activities in Mathura, where the young boy Krishna is being assaulted by these huge wrestlers. We condemn this place. They're saying it out of love. And then they present their plea. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness, and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and unique. This is a very jewel-like verse amongst jewels. It's quoted twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Acharyas explain what's going on in this verse. The women of the Torah, they're, by saying this, what austerities must the gopis have performed? They are longing, let us take birth in Vrindavan, and particularly, let us do austerities to take birth as Krishna's intimate lovers in Vrindavan. Because they always get to see Krishna. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to the forest, when he leaves his village to go to the forest, he sounds his flute and his intimate consorts. They come out of their houses. They meet Krishna in small groves bordering the village, and then Krishna leaves for the deeper parts of the forest. The same thing happens when Krishna returns in the evening. He's blowing his flute and his intimate girlfriends, they go to those same cow groves bordering the village, and they meet Krishna on the way back. So the women of Mathura, they're explaining, what austerities must these young girls have performed? With their eyes, they're drinking nectar. Can you conceive of such a thing? Drinking nectar with your eyes? Feasting with your eyes? They're drinking the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is lavanyasar, the essence of all loveliness. What is the point of that? You may say that part of Krishna's super excellence is his beauty. But here, the women of Mathura, they refute that. No, you can't say that part of his super excellence is his beauty, because that beauty is lavanyasar. It's his essence. You can't separate his essence from him. That's how beautiful he is. When you say Krishna, as soon as you say Krishna, you have the perfection of beauty. You can't take that away from Krishna and analyze it separately from him. Although, sometimes that is done in the Shastra just to focus upon the Lord's beauty, but the actual fact is, Lavanyasar, he himself is the essence of all beauty. You can't separate that from Krishna. What else? Lavanyasar asamurtham ananyasthitam. Asamurtham. No one equals him, no one surpasses him. Vishwanath Chakravarti points out. You may say, okay, Krishna is presenting his pastimes in this material world, a place of birth and death, an inferior abode. Therefore, the Lord's presence, as Narayana and Vaikuntha, must be superior. Think about it. Krishna's displaying pastimes in this mortal world. It would seem, perhaps through logic, that his pastimes in Vaikuntha, as Narayana, are superior, because what is Vaikuntha compared to the material world? No comparison. But the women of Mathura are saying, no. Even though these pastimes are displayed in the material world, they have no equal even in Vaikuntha. Ananyasiddham. How did this beauty come about? Was it added to Krishna from without? No. Krishna is self-perfect. His beauty is all internal. His beauty does not come from outside him. Next, you might say, all right, you're glorifying these cowherd girls of Vrindavan, but don't they see Krishna all the time? Therefore, doesn't the freshness disappear? No. Anusava Vinavam. Krishna's beauty is constantly new. They see him every day, but every day is an ever-fresh festival for the eyes. Therefore, the Lord is known as Netrananda, a festival for the eyes. Nitya Mahotsava, eternal Maha Festival, to see, for you to drink up his beauty with your eyes. Next, you might say, okay, if all that is true, let's all aspire, just as you're aspiring, to take birth as Krishna's intimate associates in Vrindavan. But dharapam, this is difficult to attain. This is rare. Finally, ekanta dhamma, yasasa, shriya aishvarasya. You may say, okay, all glory is to Lord Krishna. Narayan is Bhagavan. He's full of opulence. That is true. But still in comparison, Lord Krishna is ekanta dhamma. He's the only abode of fame, beauty, and opulence, even in relation to Lord Narayan. In this way, the women of Mathura establish the unsurpassable beauty of Krishna's form. In this way, Lord Chaitanya takes us deeper and deeper into understanding and appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should become inspired to feel overwhelmed in trying to understand Krishna. That is a healthy sign. When you think, how will I ever scratch the surface of understanding Krishna? There's his opulence, his ice fire, then there's his Madhurya, his sweetness. When will I ever get to the end of trying to understand Krishna? I wish that benediction upon you all. First of all, myself. Thank you. That you feel overwhelmed in trying to understand and appreciate Krishna's beauty and sweetness. That reward can be yours. And Lord Chaitanya is holding it in front of your eyes. What is most difficult to achieve in this age of Kali is being freely given by Lord Chaitanya. Any quick questions? Yes.
Could at the beginning you were saying about presenting Krishna consciousness to people and not to be afraid of presenting it as being the highest. And sometimes we try to be careful of people's reaction to what we're saying and presenting it in that way may invoke a negative reaction. They might turn around and say, well, that's what everyone says about their religion. So how do we deal with that?
You have to know how indeed Krishna is superlative. You can't fault it. It's true. Everyone says their knowledge of God is the best. In a humble way, not in your face. We'll spell you. I was describing before you got here, one of my godmothers, in 73 when we were doing second time together. He was from a Jewish background, and Shravananda, anyone know? Someone knew Shravananda? He was so happy when he came to Krishna consciousness that, you know, no longer could the Christians put him down, you know, because he didn't know Jesus. But he was very enthusiastic whenever he would meet Christians in the parking lot, the car parks, you know, around Sankirtan. It doesn't happen in New Zealand, but in the USA, the Christians, they can become very assertive. They'll just march up to you while you're in a car park distributing with a Bible in your hand and tell you you're going to hell, you're worshiping a false god. So he would just take the Bible out of their hands, chuck it down the car door. It's a rag! You know, do this right now. We respect even the Yavana Shastras. And we're very careful that we don't use Krishna consciousness preaching as a chance to do an ego trip. It's true you have the best thing, but a devotee always thinks, I'm not the best. Therefore, we're careful to humbly present the message of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Tattva. But at the same time, I'm not embarrassed that it's the best. But both things are there simultaneously. You have to be able to show that. Otherwise, you will come across as fanatic. You have to show how is Krishna the best? How is understanding Krishna the highest understanding of God? Prabhupada himself said this is a gradual art how to do this. It doesn't happen overnight, but you have to start somewhere. And devotees have different personalities, so naturally their styles will be different according to their personality. We don't say that all the devotees have to do things exactly the same way. Some devotees are very quiet. Some devotees are more assertive. The whole point is, whatever your personality is, saturated with pure devotion to Krishna will be effective. Yes?
How can one be humble and unpleasant person, but confident at the same time? Preventing Krishna consciousness.
What I try to think is, actually this person I'm preaching to is will be a better devotee than me. They just don't know it yet. So I'm just doing them the service of pointing these things out to them, giving them this knowledge of Krishna. I'm doing it as the humble servant of my spiritual master. And I'm sure this person will be a better devotee than me. I actually try to think look at this person's qualities. Far superior to me when I started Krishna consciousness. Certainly this person will become such a wonderful devotee. And then you try to humbly assist that person's spiritual progress. Not that, you'll become a devotee and you'll be under my thumb. Thank you very much, George.
Namaste, Ramakrishna.